Well, we had a great week last week. Do you remember last week? For those of you here, we did a healing service. And so many people have been giving us feedback about the teaching in that healing service. Because some of it was very challenging. When we were talking about, is it up to God? If God wants to heal me, then I'll be healed. But the Bible teaches that a lot of God's will doesn't happen. God wants all men to be saved, the scripture says. But not all men are saved. It's God's will and desire that none should perish, but not all people are saved. So God's will is not always done. God's a perfect will, and he's a permissive will. He permits things to happen. But his perfect will is that we would live in obedience to him, and to learn through knowledge and through understanding. And every problem we have is a knowledge problem. Every problem we have is a knowledge problem. And that's why we're trying to teach these building blocks as mission disciples. And thank you for those that brought your notepads. See all these young people writing notes and taking notes. It's good to learn. We're disciples. Bring your Bibles if you can. Take notes and we'll go to the Bible. Write things down, even in your study notes and your phone. What do you think of that sermon with Father Jerry today? Were we blessed? Were we blessed?
Yes.
You know, and I'm trying to encourage people to clap. Some people, clapping's normal. It's okay to clap in church. I think we should give them another clap. Because it was a kind of haphazard clap way. It was like, should we be doing this in church? Yeah, it's okay. We're honouring God and the man. Amen. It's a form of praise to God when somebody's bringing a word. And it's such a powerful, challenging word. And as Father Jerry says, you won't hear many people preach like that. Because many, many of our clergy, the tail's wagging the dog. Don't be saying this, and we can't be saying these things and challenging things. And that whole gospel message is about people who say yes, but never actually do the word of God. They don't follow God's word. So, as I said at the beginning, we're having our yeshiva. And for those that have never been here before, the yeshiva, I'll explain it again. It's a Jewish way of learning, where we have questions, we have answers, we have comments, we have a microphone here. But I just want to remind you about some of the points we made last week, for those of you that weren't here. Because what I'm trying to teach is going to be coming up in the coming weeks. Again, I'm going to repeat myself. Everything about God's kingdom is a knowledge problem. And if we don't know his ways, and we don't understand his ways, we could have this attitude, it's up to God. The que sera, sera theology. Whatever will be, is unbiblical. Whatever will be, is unbiblical. God wants us to take the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and it's taken by force. Do you understand what that means? That means we have to take the kingdom. And it's not going to be casually here and now, yo-yo, now and then, up and down. We have to take it by force. And Jesus came to establish a kingdom. Now I'm going to say something that may challenge somebody. Don't go right to the Archbishop. Jesus never came to establish a church. Jesus ordained a church to establish a kingdom. The kingdom of God is in your midst, is the first thing he says. Repent, for the kingdom of God is in your midst. And all he's teaching about the kingdom. The kingdom, the church. And the Greek means the called out ones, ecclesia. We're the church. This is another building. You're the church. We're the church. So Jesus never really came to establish a church per se. He ordained a church. He ordained you and I to be prophet, priest, and kings. Why? To establish his kingdom. And his kingdom has principles. It has laws like any other kingdom. There's a constitution. All the nations of the earth have constitutions. Americans are always talking about the constitution. Laws of the kingdom. God has a constitution. As Father Jerry said earlier on, God's ways are to be obeyed. It's not up for discussion. This is God's constitution. If God's word says it, then we have to obey. Like these two sons, one says yes but doesn't do a thing and doesn't understand the principles of God. The principles of God are belief and behavior. Belief and behavior. If you want God's kingdom, you're going to have to suffer it. You're going to have to go and step in there and take it through knowledge of him. What's the next slide? And I'm going to open it up to you to talk. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Watch for through our knowledge of him. Remember what we said before, ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. And even the first temptation, if you think of the Garden of Eden, the first temptation wasn't about a fruit. It was about knowledge. The tree of knowledge. And Satan comes along and says, does God really say? Can God really be trusted? And God was trying to save mankind from this knowledge of evil. Just work with me, obey me, and you have a blessed life. But they wanted the knowledge of evil. And God comes to Adam and Eve. I don't know if you've ever noticed this before, but Adam and Eve did not repent. If you read your Bible again, Adam and Eve never repented. And some scholars believe this, if Adam and Eve had repented there and then, that would have been it. But they never. Because they had listened to another voice. They hid. Adam says, we were naked. So we hid. Most scholars believe the reason why they knew they were naked was because they were clothed in the glory of God, gathered with light. And that glory was lifted when they obeyed another voice. They never repented. And Father Jerry says this confession here. And we don't live a lifestyle of repentance. Living a lifestyle of repentance gives you knowledge of God, and you start being more humble and more aware of his presence in your life. Adam blamed Eve. If you read your Bible, he never repented. He says, it was a woman. It was a woman you gave me. In other words, it's your fault and it's her fault. No wonder women don't trust men. And then God comes to Eve and says, it was the Satan, it was the serpent. She blames the serpent, the snake. And I know I can't resist saying this, and the snake didn't have a leg to stand on. I can't resist telling that joke, I think. But they wouldn't take, what's the word I'm looking for? They wouldn't take authority, not authority, they wouldn't accept responsibility. So maturity comes with accepting responsibility, and they wouldn't do it. And they lost the knowledge of God and his ways, and God's continually trying to teach his ways and his knowledge so he can understand God's ways as the kingdom. This is his constitution. If you break the law in Ireland, you will suffer the consequences. And if you don't know the constitution, you don't know, that's the constitution, that's the word of God. And when you don't know the word of God, you can believe other things and every wind of doctrine that's out there. We've got people in our churches, in our parishes, believing New Age stuff. There's people going to Mass then going to New Age, going to spiritual mediums. We're caught up in all sorts of stuff. Why? Because of lack of knowledge. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. What's the next one, Seamus? For by these he has granted to us exceedingly great and precious promises in this Bible, so that through them we become partakers of the divine nature. We become partakers of the divine nature. We become like him. Well, I'm a Catholic. That's a bit too much for me. You're saying I have to become like God? Yes. You and I were made in his image and likeness. And Satan tries to twist God's word to Eve and says, well, God really knows you'll become like him. Eve should just have said, we are like him. But she took another word. We have become partakers of his divine nature. And if we get this, and if we understand that through knowledge of him, that's why the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people go into a wilderness because they don't know my ways. Do you know what wilderness means in the Greek, in the Hebrew? It means this, a prolonged and forced way of living. My people go into a wilderness because they don't know me. That's a prolonged and forced way of living. So there's three journeys in the people of Israel. Egypt, the wilderness, and the promised land. And God gives us a promise. Every time there's a promise, there's a problem in between it. Promise, problem, provision. For those that are taking notes. Promise, problem, provision. Egypt, they were caught up in sin. God takes them out. And guess what happens? They start rebelling. And they end up in the wilderness. Because God is going from the promise to the promised land. So a wilderness. And sometimes we say, I'm in a wilderness, but God's got me there. No, you got yourself there. And can God bring good out of it? Yes, of course he can. God works all things together for the good, but God never put you in there. You put yourself in that wilderness because you didn't yield to God's word and you disobeyed God's word. And if we don't know his ways and his word and we disobey, we end up in a prolonged and forced way of living until we learn God's ways. God has given you everything pertaining to life and godliness. If you get that, if we can get that and understand that, that's why the whole world's chasing sex, money and power, Father Jerry said earlier, chasing all this stuff, and we're created for God. You and I were created for God. St. Augustine, you have made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. You've got God's shape in you. You ever notice that when God created the heavens and the earth, he created us last. Everything else was created for us. Everything else was created for us. And then he creates mankind and all our provision is there for us. Wasn't it like Adam thought, Lord, I'm hungry. The Lord went, oh, right, I better create some fruit trees. Lord, I can't breathe. I better create oxygen. Everything was created for us. Our whole environment was God's presence, everything we needed. Knowledge of his ways and knowledge of how he functions and how he responds. And if you read the Bible, you'll start to know how God responds, how Jesus responds. You can't live a life of unforgiveness. And no matter how many people have hurt you and offended you, you can't live a life that's against the kingdom. The gospel a few weeks ago, if you've got anything against your brother and you know, go and be reconciled with him. That's a kingdom principle. That's part of the constitution. Ah, but you don't know what he did to me. Do you not know the kingdom? Jesus said that to Nicodemus. You don't know these things and you're a leader of Israel. You can't see the kingdom. God's ways and God has ways, the kingdom. This is how the kingdom of God works. Jesus, time and time again, this is how the kingdom, what's the greatest of all the commandments? This is the greatest of all the commandments. Love God and love your neighbour. That's it. That sums up everything. But if you get a thought that's against the kingdom, you're going to pay the consequences. We all do pay the consequence for sin. We get into a prolonged, forced way of living because we decided we'll do it our way. Knowledge. God has given you everything, all the great precious promises he's given to us for us to take. Isn't that amazing? You ever thought about this? See this mobile phone? That was able to be put together in the Garden of Eden. God has never created anything since Genesis. He's never created another thing. Everything was created, all the land, the seas, all everything, the whole world of plants, trees, oxygen, the axis, the sun, the moon, everything was created, everything. Jumbo jets were in the Garden of Eden. Through knowledge, progressive revelation, and men started to understand, wow, God put gold, he put silver, he put everything into the land. Cars. were present in the Garden of Eden. What happened? They didn't have the knowledge. This is progressive revelation. They didn't have the knowledge to be able to say, wow, we can do this together. God is creator, for those who are taking notes. We're created. That makes us creative. God is creator, we're created. That makes us creative. So everything was provided in the Garden of Eden. Internet, televisions were possible. Because everything was there. He's never created another thing since then. And everything in the kingdom was created through words. That's why we were saying last week about the healing service, know so, say so, do so. Everything God created was through words. And if we know his word, and if we can speak his word, that's a kingdom principle. A principle is a belief and a behavior. Not just a belief, not literally the two sons earlier on, it's a belief and a behavior. God's principles. Do you know how to follow God's principles? It's not just believing. Remember we talked about demon faith a few weeks ago? Demon faith. Oh, I believe God. Well, so do the demons. And they shudder, the scripture says. They believe, but they shudder at the very thought of it as believe and behave. It's both principles of God. Are you okay with so far? Okay, then the next one. We were talking about the healing service. Be ye therefore followers of God, dear children. That's Ephesians 5:1. Now let me show you a little revelation. Go to the next. This is the exact same scripture. Another translation. Be imitators of God. Be imitators. How come the other translation says be followers of God? Because in the Greek, follow means to imitate. And in the Hebrew, it means to imitate. So when Jesus was saying to his followers, follow me, he was saying, imitate. You have to imitate me. Be imitators of God. Therefore, as beloved children, just imitate Jesus. Imitate his ways. That's what Peter was saying when Jesus was walking the water. Peter says, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come, let me imitate you. That's how a first century Jew thought as a disciple. I'm going to imitate my rabbi. Paul says, imitate me. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Be imitators of God. Oh, that's a bit strong. Yes, all of us can imitate God and his ways and his principles when you know his ways and his constitution and his kingdom laws. There will be consequences if we break his kingdom. I remember Ralph Martin years ago when he was based in Belgium, and during the charismatic renewal, the church put him in Belgium, the seat of the charismatic renewal was in Europe. And he was driving. I can't remember whether he drove through a green light or he was speeding, but he got pulled in with the police. And Ralph says, I'm just in America. I didn't know I was breaking your laws. And the police officer said, we expect anybody that's coming to our kingdom to know our laws. If you break the law, you'll be consequences to breaking the law. And that's why I was trying to teach this last week. It's through knowledge of him. We can become partakers. He gives us everything. He's the God who shares his priesthood, his kingly anointing, his power to forgive sins. He breathes on them. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, Pentecostal friend, said, well, the Bible is God breathed. The Bible says God's breathed. This is 2 Timothy 3:16. God breathed. All scripture is theanostos. It's God breathed. And he said, that's all we need. I said, no. He also breathed in the church. He still breathed on his disciples and gave them the power to forgive sin. He's the God who gives and shares everything with us. That we, right to the very cross, he shares his mother. Behold, your mother. He doesn't withhold anything from us. He just wants us to imitate him. And when we start to imitate him and be like him, like walk like him, think like him, that's really what it means to be a disciple. Belief and behaviour, it's both. Amen? All of us can imitate God. And all of us, as my old pastor used to say, you're only as close to God as you want to be, son. I'll remember that for the rest of my life. I just want more of Jesus. You're only close to Jesus as you want to be, son. You could be with Jesus all day. You could be in here before the Blessed Sacrament on a Monday, if you can make it. You're only as close to God as you want to be. Be an imitator of God. You think everything in creation has been provided for us. Everything. Through knowledge of him and his ways and his understanding, he can live a blessed life, all of us, if we just flow with him. Amen. That was just a wee reminder of last week, what we're teaching now. I'm going to open it up. Katie, you wanted to say a few words. I know that you said to me. So Katie's going to come, and then any comments, any questions, what I've just said, any questions to Father Jerry, please come forward. And let's just imagine you're sitting around about the fire. Okay? Yeah. We're just talking. What's that? Marshmallows. Yeah. Glass of whiskey. No, I remember
that. That was me actually last week sitting at the fire.
Come forward, yeah. So the people in the
camera. All right, okay, yeah. Okay. I didn't think I'd be up here, Terry, but anyway. So I was meant to be here last week. I wanted to be here. And my mum is sick at the minute. And she took a bit of a turn last week. And I wanted to be with her. So I went home to be with mum. And we were watching online. And my spirits were a little bit low because her diagnosis is fairly new. And we're all getting to grips with it to see how we can help her and make her comfortable. But first of all, as soon as I got there, I said, listen, mum, we'll switch on Knockbridge and we'll watch Knockbridge. Let's just lift our spirits, you know. And first of all, Joe's music, I could feel my heart just filling up straight away with the power. I just got a real boost of my spirit was just boosted so much by the music, first of all. And then the fact that it was healing, and it's healing that we want and that we're asking for and that we're praying for. So it was a perfect time to be watching on Sunday. And it just struck me when Terry was preaching, you know, I've heard it so many times before and I've read it so many times before, by his stripes you are healed. And just when I heard Terry preaching it, it just became so real. You know, it just opened it right up for me and I really understood it, you know. And I know that Terry said, or it was said, that God doesn't move on our needs. He moves on our faith. And also when you mentioned that the woman with the blood issues, like Jesus didn't know what she wanted. He was just moving along the crowd and she touched him. And it was her faith that healed her and saved her. And it just struck me, I really got a real, because I was quite, I wouldn't say down, but my spirit was low, you know. And on hearing that, I just got a real freedom, a freedom of the spirit. And I knew, you know, and even all week, I could feel my prayers, a real freedom in my prayers, the way I prayed. I was just free, you know. I know that mom is healed. And I just really felt, I've read it so many times, even that line, the lady with the blood issues, but hearing it,
yeah.
You know, and even I heard before, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. But when you hear it preached just with such power and just, oh, such authority, it just really hit me. So I just want to thank you, Terry. And even today, you know, I've read Genesis so many times. I said, I'm going to read my Bible. I always start and then I stop, you know. But when God created, like, he created everything first.
Everything,
you know,
first.
I never thought of that before. So that is amazing, you know. I love it. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Thanks.
Thank you, Katie. Okay, we're going to open this up. Any other comments or questions? God created everything for us. He wants you to imitate him. I know that might be challenging for a lot of people, but that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to speak his word, like that woman did. Know so, say so, do so. Christianity is a say-so faith. If you start saying the word, Jesus says, whoever shall speak to this mountain and tell it to be removed and does not doubt, it will be done according to what he says. The science is only starting to realize this. The power of the spoken word. You've heard it before, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt you. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Words hurt you. Words are powerful. That's how God created everything, by his word. Everything through his word. And that's where Jesus says, he said this, I don't do anything unless the Father tells me. I only say what my Father tells me to say. He imitated his Father. And then he promised the Holy Spirit, he says, when he comes, he will not speak of his own. He will only speak what he's been told to speak. The power of God's word. That's powerful. It's so powerful, it's so creative. God never threw the stars into the sky. Some song sang, God spoke the stars into the sky. And there's so much hidden revelation in the Old Testament, we miss it. And it's only through knowledge, and his father's knowledge of Hebrew and Greek, and the knowledge of how God functions and how God operates in medicine. Do you know that every bit of medicine was in the garden? Every pharmacy, think about every pharmacy across the world, it was ready in the garden. It's all created. God created everything, the leaves, for the healing of the nations, the Bible says. All this, it's all grown. God provided medicine for us. Do you know that medicine, penicillin, was just discovered? Discovered penicillin. Do you know when God says, the seed of the woman shall crush your head? Do you know the scientists and even scholars didn't understand what he was saying? The seed of the woman. Women don't have seed. Revelation. The seed of the woman. It's called the proto-evangelium. It's the first gospel. Speaking Christ. He's speaking Christ into existence. The seed in the Greek word is sperm. The sperma of this woman. And it's only through progressive understanding and revelation that when the scholars are translating this thing, oh my God, women don't. They didn't know women didn't have seed then. Women have an egg. Man, a seed. The seed of the woman. Doesn't make sense. Makes sense now when you understand that progressive revelation. And all of us are the product of a seed. And so recently the science has told us that hundreds of millions of sperm competed for you. Do you know that? Up to maybe 200 to 300 million sperm is released into the uterus of a woman. Say, so let's just call it 100 million. Let's say there's only 100 million. If you've ever done your science, you ever see it? Like wee tadpoles flying up fallopian tubes, trying to outrun each other. 100 million. And you made it. You made it. And you fertilized in the egg of your mother. You're not 1 in 1 million. You're 1 in 100 million. Or 1 in 300 million. You're unique in God. It's so amazing that God has created everything for you. And if you get to know his kingdom ways is speaking his word. Don't speak somebody else's word or some other so-called philosopher. Speak his word. Everything God's created responds to words. Watch this. Hey Siri. Do you hear that? Hey Siri. Hey Siri. Hey Siri. The response to what Blaise, you did, to respond to what's, I'm on it. I don't have an answer for that. There's something else I can help you with. Alexa, every morning, I say, morning, Alexa, put on some worship music. Next thing, response to what's. It's only now that science is realising that God created everything to respond to words. That's why Jesus, when he came to demons, he didn't pray for demons, he spoke to them. Get out. He spoke and he commanded things to happen. He spoke to the weather, stop, quiet, calm down. His words were spoken. Amen? Anybody else got any questions? Any answers?
Excuse me.
Yes. Winnie. Well, it's for people watching. There's people watching, listening.
You were talking
put it up to your microphone.
You were talking about Adam didn't repent.
Yeah.
I all thought that I did. I never knew he had to repent, because God would have made him first. If you know what I mean. I know he'd done wrong and all that, but
he didn't repent.
Yeah. Why?
Because he was prideful. The sin of pride. Pride had already entered in, because the sin of pride came from Lucifer. Lucifer had another voice. He came against God, and the Bible tells us that God cast him out of heaven with a word. One word. Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning. So pride had entered in to mankind. He just kept blaming his wife, and she blamed it. That's what everybody's blaming everybody else. Instead of taking responsibility and saying, Lord, forgive me. As soon as you say, Lord, forgive me, the sacrament of reconciliation, something powerful happens. Supernatural takes over with the power of words. As Father Jerry says, I absolve you. That's power. Isn't that powerful? That all our sins can be absolved through words. We can never have the Eucharist without the word. No word, no Eucharist. Father Jerry didn't make up his own words there. And thanks, well, he could say, well, I'd like to just say over this bread. No. Nothing's going to happen. Because the kingdom laws is speaking his word. This is my body. He's speaking God's word. And heaven opens up. That's the law of the kingdom. That's how God works. That's how the Blessed Virgin says, be it done unto me according to your word. As soon as that happened, the Holy Spirit came. And Jesus came into the room. She received him in her heart. She said, yes. And it's more about understanding God's ways, God's kingdom, reading your Bible, reading the promises of God. That all the promises of God are yes. That's what the Bible says that. All the promises of God are yes and amen. And I just want to say this. And the amen is spoken by us. Amen means so be it. So all the promises of God are yes and so be it, spoken through us. You have to agree with God's promise. Lord, you said. Lord, I'm not going to doubt. Lord, I'm struggling here. I'm struggling with unbelief, but help me. I want to believe your word. This is with everything in society today. The world out there, all the governments of the world, all the woke stuff, and everybody's opinion is so anti-God. It's so against God's word. I'm trying to speak against God's word. If you know his ways and you know God's word, that's the only way to live in the kingdom. Jesus came to establish a kingdom. And we just think church, and buildings. No. Kingdom. God ordained you to bring the kingdom. We say it every day. We recite our Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Why? As it is in heaven. Why? Because earth was meant to be a colony of heaven. Whatever's happening in heaven should be happening in earth. But God limited himself by giving us the earth. This earth belongs to you. Now you take care of it. But call me. Call unto me and I will show you great and unsearchable things, the Bible says. God wants us to walk in the kingdom with him and to understand his ways. Any other questions? Yes.
Right. Obviously, I know, like, obviously, the Holy Trinity, right? The one I would have struggled, and I would have asked for answers before, but I don't seem to come across the right person that can answer for me. So, you know, like, it says, the heavens.
The heavens.
The heavens, right? Mm-hmm. And then it says the gods.
God created the heavens?
No, I know God, right? God is God. But in some Bibles it says the gods.
No.
Right, in some Bibles it actually does say it, and some people have said, I'm not debating about it. I'm only asking about it because I've always been confused. Why would people say the gods when it's only one God, and it's the Holy Trinity?
I have never heard of any Bible that says that, and it's the first time I've ever heard anyone saying that. And again, it could be just somebody's opinion. Or they read a book, the gods. God created the heavens and the earth, that's it. There's no other gods before me. Yeah, God created the heavens, yeah. The heavens, there's three heavens. The Bible says there's three heavens. This is the heavens. We've got the earth, the heavens below us, and we have space. So there is three heavens. Anybody else? Questions? Comments? To you? Father Jerry.
I was just thinking when you were speaking, Terry, about the sacrament of repentance, of reconciliation.
Yes.
And the reason why so many people do not go to the sacrament, mm-hmm. because the evil one wants to keep them mute, and they don't want to speak out mm-hmm. their sin. And, you know, when they go, and then we're trying to accommodate that in so many ways. That's mm-hmm. the danger of that. Oh, just come and we'll give you a wee blessing. Or just come and you don't have to say anything. We'll just absolve you and then you go. You know, I think it's important for people when they go to confessions that they speak the whatever it may be within them that's blocking them, to speak it out. And that's why we do an unbound ministry too. Mm-hmm. We're giving people the authority that they have been given at baptism over unclean spirits. You know, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples. So use that authority that I have given you. And a lot of people don't realize that they have that authority. And that's why, you know, that they're blocked. So until we can find a way to give, to let people know that you have that authority, and then the confessions will be just a few wee drips and drips and drips until more people can take on that authority and use that authority and speak the word out.
Yes.
You know, so...
Amen. The power of God's word, the spoken word. Don't speak to God about the problem. Speak to the problem. What about God? Just speak God's word. The power of words, power of the spoken word. If you got one of these slides up, Seamus, God's word, the Bible says that God watches over his word to perform it, Jeremiah. He watches over his word to perform it. So here we go. So the word of God is not just informative, it's permortive. God performs his word. He watches over it to perform it. You got another scripture there, Seamus? Isaiah 55, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper the thing which I sent it. God's word spoken. Speaking God's word, get the Bible, search for promises, and speak the word back to him, speak the word to Satan, speak the word over your family, speak the word. There's power released. This is how the kingdom works. And God has given us everything we need. You get another scripture there? He sent his word and healed them. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them. That's why Jesus came. As I said last week, they were all healed. The Son of Man was anointed by the Holy Spirit, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He healed them all. And that's why last week I said, we're trying, we're like doctors, we're practicing, but we're trying, we can, everything we possibly can to make things work for people to heal. The sacrament anointing, is it speaking to, is it laying hands? And everything we possibly can to work with God's laws. The kingdom has laws. And it's through knowledge. And that's why we need to get Bibles. We're not in the 15th century any longer when nobody could read. We've all got Bibles. And if you can't read, you can still listen. You can get Bible on the phone. And listen, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. And taking notes and learning God's ways and learning his principles. The principles of God are belief and behaviour. Any other comments? Any questions? Well, I love this scripture. I talked about that. Look at that. This is what Jesus is saying. Do not be afraid, little flock. God calls you a little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants you to live in the kingdom and to operate in the kingdom. But you can't operate in the kingdom if you don't know how the kingdom works and how the kingdom operates. The kingdom of God is in your midst. Here's a wee Bible study for you. Go to your Bible, and if you've got a concordance, or just go to Google, and Google in every word in the Bible that says kingdom. And do a Bible word study. And it'll blow your mind what it says about the kingdom. And the kingdom is a lifestyle, it's a way of thinking. It's total opposite to churchianity. People just come into church and just saying all the prayers, but as Father says, their hearts. Jesus says, these people pay me lip service, but their hearts are far from me. They don't understand the kingdom. This is what we're trying to do in Sunday afternoon. We're trying to change the culture of the kingdom. This is normal to praise God. It's normal to worship. It's normal to clap hands when Father Jerry gives us an incredible homily. We should be honouring the man of God, but we can't clap. Who said? Who said that? You go to Africa. The Catholic Mass in Africa, and you'll see them dancing, I mean, clapping. But we have these. Is that right, Charles? Amen? Charles is from Uganda. Am I telling the truth? And you take your lunch to Mass. Amen. We talk about the longest Mass. You take your shaving kit with you as well, man. Because these guys know how to praise and to worship. And we have all these traditions in our church that we're challenging. It's not the culture of the kingdom. The culture of the kingdom is joy and anointing and freedom and praise and worship and leading people to Jesus. It's a whole different lifestyle. Churchianity is boring. It's dull and it's drab and it's irrelevant. And young people are saying, you know what? Keep it. But you read that Bible. It's a great adventure. When I'm ministering to men, men just look at the church and think, oh, who wants that drug or wants football? Be challenged at football. There's more fun and more excitement watching a game of football than there is in the church. But we don't do that. We've got to be silent in the church. I'm all for silent in the church. But see, next time you're having a dinner party, just tell them, we're going to have an hour of silence. We're coming together to celebrate the King. We're coming together, and I love silent times. I love being on my own. I want to be on my own. If I'm on my own, but I'm with people. I'm communicating. We're talking, we're sharing, we're involved together. It's not just spectators. But let me tell you something about this. A spectator in the church becomes an agitator. God's called you to feel out of that. I remember Father James Marlowe, I did a Zoom call with him and he talked about maintenance to mission. He said that he realised that every Sunday he was going behind that altar and he was looking at spectators. Just spectators. Not interested in getting involved in mission. And a lot of them were agitators and instigators because they didn't know the kingdom. And their understanding of church is you go there, you do that, and then you pay your money, pray, pay and obey. That's not the kingdom. The kingdom is a completely different way of life. It's knowing him and knowing his ways and speaking his word and confessing his word. Amen? Amen. Any other comments? And we'll just close. Any other questions, comments? And here we are, the sacrament of reconciliation that Father Jerry's just talked about. How many people go to sacrament of reconciliation? I don't have to go to a priest. Well, Jesus said you do. John chapter 20. Confess your sins to one another. And guess what happens? It humbles you. And guess what happens? Grace is imparted. When the absolution comes, grace comes to you. Keeps you humble. Father Jerry was there. Bang, well, one or two people came. I'm meeting Father Jerry tomorrow before I go to America. I'm going to the US next week. And I says, I'll get confession with you tomorrow, Ram. Today I didn't want to disturb you. He says, you need it because the plane might go down. Who needs Job's comforters? Thanks very much. At least you'll go straight to heaven if the plane goes down. Amen. Any other questions or comments? Are you okay with what I said? We're just learning how to become disciples and learning his ways. Learning how God operates. And we'll just keep teaching into this and teaching and building these discipleship ways. Amen. Well, we have also got an anointed Bible teacher in our midst. What's this? Yeah. Can you just go behind that microphone there?
Yeah. Can you hear me there?
Yeah.
Yeah, just it was coming through my mind. A lot of, when you come into your faith, you know, it's only when you're looking back you can see that God accepted it the first day you stepped forward to him, you know?
Yes.
What advice can you give the people that's coming to the Lord, but they think, like, oh, I have to be the finished product? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, like, that's a big thing I can see with people that they think they have to be, that God's waiting for them to get perfect to accept it. Do you know what
I mean? And that's why that scripture in Luke 12, fear not, little flock. That's how God sees you. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God just loves us. And it's called justification and sanctification. You're justified when you come to Christ and you repent, you're justified. But sanctification is a process.
No one is perfect except Jesus.
No one is perfect except the Lord.
But I think you have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
That's why we're here.
Amen. That's why you're here. You start somewhere. It's discipleship.
We're on the road.
It's this continual learning and being an imitator. And Peter was not messing with me. He says, Lord, bring me to come. I'm a disciple. I want to do what you do. You do that. Jesus says, you'll do greater things than I.
You don't need to be a theologian.
You don't have to be a great theologian. I like that. We don't have to have, what do you call it? We say classroom Catholicism. We need upper room Catholicism as well. The power of the Holy Spirit and demonstration.
It's people.
Amen. Amen.